You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. So, there was a vote, when was it? We're going back to the traffic, by the way, such is the interest. There was a vote in May of this year. It was in relation to two major active travel projects in Letterkenny. And those that voted at that time for it to go ahead are, and these, I mean, you can find out yourself where these councillors are from, that's up to you. But anyway, for passage of the Part 8 for Letterkenny Active Travel, Ballyrain Road Project and Letterkenny Active Travel, Circular Road Project, Joy Beard, Michael Boyle, Jimmy Brogan, Brian Carr, Terry Crossan, Thomas Sean Devine, Albert Doherty, Gary Doherty, Ali Farron, Martin Harley, Noel Jordan, Jimmy Kavanagh, Michael, Colin McGill-Nasbeg, Michael McBride, Borg McGarvey, Jerry McMonagle, Declan Meehan, Dakota Lee Menaman, Martin Scanlon, John Seamus O'Ferry, all voted in favour. Those that objected, Liam Blaney, Fionn Bradley, Kieran Brogan, Paul Canning, Donald Coyle, Martin Farron, Donald Mandy Kelly, Michael McClafferty, Martin McDermott, Dennis McGee, Patrick McGowan, Anthony Malloy, Micheál Nocton. Now, so obviously those, there's many of those that are outside Letterkenny. You can see from the pattern there, for the most part, it seems they backed the local Letterkenny Milford councillor's stance in approving these works going ahead or opposing them. So we want to talk now to some of the people that may well be affected by this. Aileen is from Evolve and joins us now. Hi, Aileen.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
It's Aileen, isn't it? Sorry.
Aileen.
Sorry, I was correct. Why did I doubt myself? Right.
You
so
were correct.
It's a toughie, this, because Aileen, and I hope you're conscious of the fact that we're ultra conscious of platforming people's concerns, but not doing anything to try and damage business or discourage people, because you do amazing stuff. Your own shop there is fantastic. It's a great employer. It's a great supporter of the community. And it's a tough one from this seat, Aileen. But I'm very pleased to be able to get your view in relation to this. And what is your view as a business person?
Great. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for saying that as well. And we totally understand that you're not trying to put people off. And it's really important that we continue to get people into the town. You know, on behalf of Evolve Clothing in the retail park here, we and probably on behalf of the town as well, you know, we feel that the roadworks are just, they shouldn't be happening. And listen, we know that the roadworks are happening at the hospital. They've already started. I don't think there's much we can do about it, but we would be hopeful that they would be stopped, you know, fairly soon for the busy Christmas season. But, you know, out walking last night, and the new signage has been erected there at the Polestar roundabout, you know, notifying people notifying people of roadworks that's going to happen from the Polestar roundabout to the Creamery roundabout from November 10th is, I think if anybody came from outside of Donegal into the county and seen that sign, they would probably think it's a joke, because the town is already blocked to capacity, and then start roadworks on November 10th or from November 10th is just not on. It shouldn't be happening. And we have to let people know, like, businesses are suffering. There's no question about that. I would say we have spoken about this. I think probably businesses are fatigued at this point, because pretty often it falls on deaf ears, to be honest.
Which is very frustrating, because you contribute so much through business rates, through water rates. You know, I mean, businesses keep this town, keep this county ticking.
That's right. And funny you say that, we have had a number of people, businesses contact us to say, you know, about maybe doing up a campaign to pull the rates until the roadworks have stopped. And, you know, it's really important for us to say as well, Greg, that people are happy to take the pain of the roadworks if there's a positive outcome, you know. But will there be a positive outcome after these roadworks are done? Yeah, absolutely there will be, when eventually the bridge is built, without a doubt. But these roadworks that are currently happening and currently planned, we are not sure whether they're going to actually benefit the town at all, because they're really narrow in lanes and adding cycle lanes, so that we don't think that's going to benefit. So if there was going to be a positive outcome, I think people would be happy, but definitely not this time of the year. I don't feel there's ever a good time of year, unfortunately, because the layout of this town is so bad. But the fact that they would start works now as well from November 10th and are currently working is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I really empathise because, you know, it's every route in really effectively at this point. So the traffic coming in past us here, that road narrowing, we don't know what the consequences of that will be when it's finished. And also extra traffic lights and narrowing of roads again in another really, really busy route, a busy route for businesses in Letterkenny or those even getting to work in past, say, the Mount Errigal Hotel, which might be for easier for people. So in the first instance, why now in the busy Christmas season?
Yeah.
And all the ads are starting now, right? So people are in shopping mode already. And also, too, you know, if we're not going to get this bridge potentially with the best wind behind us till 2032, can businesses survive this short and medium term disruption to get what's going to be left to circumnavigate by the time this is all done and dusted? And I would have my real concerns if I were you or any business, sorry, not your business,
absolutely.
Any business. I know you're active online and stuff
as well.
But
absolutely, any business. Every business is struggling, Greg. You know, costs are going up, you know, minimum wages are going up, of course, and, you know, there's not that much support from the government, really. So, you know, and then to have impacted by traffic and people, and actually hearing people saying they're avoiding coming into Letterkenny, like, it's really heartbreaking, to be honest with you. And it's really hard to get your head around the fact that this work is happening and is more about to start, you know, from November 10th, which is businesses depend on the next 7 weeks hugely to make up for all the quiet times throughout the year. So I don't know why they don't get that. We don't understand why they don't understand that.
What I don't understand either is that Letterkenny-based councillors, and in fairness, it was I'm apolitical, right, but it was Fianna Fáil, in fairness, they said, let's defer this. And then there's this argument that, well, you use it or lose it. This is only like 4.5 million euro, right? So if we lose it, okay, we lose it. Let's wait a few years, get the relief road sorted, and then I'm sure there'll be another tranche of funding that we could introduce to. But, I mean, most people listening to this show want bus lanes. They don't want cycle lanes and pedestrian lanes. They want, right, say we get a town bus. How is it going to get in to evolve up to the mountaintop, down and around, if it's going to be caught up in these extra narrow roads to facilitate cyclists? I don't know how many people come in to evolve with a basket on the front of the bike, Aileen, and buy the brilliant stuff that you sell and then head back on the bike to cycle to Chrysler.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, we all know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Letterkenny is a hilly terrain as well. We're not really built for cyclists, to be honest. We're not a lovely city in Europe where we have, you know, decent weather. We have a very wet climate. We have a hilly terrain. You know, I don't know where this came out of that we, you know, put this money into cycle lanes, whatever. And I'm not, like, I understand, you know, there's a certain level of safety to it. Absolutely get that. But this is not benefiting the town. And I feel we go around in circles every year. There's something else happening. Mm-hmm. And only people that are really being hurt and damaged by it are all the businesses in the town. And also people trying to get to work and to school and just, there's added stress on everybody, and it's just not good.
Yeah, just an interesting comment during the debate from Councillor Jay McMonagle. He said, with the same bloody roads that we had in the town of 5,500, we're now a town of 2,000 plus. We're trying to do this, put in place an active travel programme to encourage people to leave their cars and walk or cycle safely to work and school. See, those comments don't really talk about business. He said that the active travel plans have been 3.5 years in development and that he believed there was no point in spending more money on further consultations. He urged members to think about the future of the town. And I get that. But it's the here and now. That's the problem we're dealing with. It's the here and now. And these plans might be great if the 10T goes ahead and takes the additional traffic out of Letterkenny that doesn't really need to be there and then makes it more attractive a shopping destination because you can get around. But we have to think about the now and the 28, the 29, the 30, the 31, 32 and potentially beyond that. And I'm telling you, we know people aren't going to cycle or walk to businesses because that's not how we do it.
Yeah, yeah. I totally listen, get what he's saying. We're all for improvements in the town, no doubt about it. But, you know, as you say, getting there is going to be extremely difficult, and there may well be a lot of business that won't be able to survive as a result of the works that happen in the meantime. And the layout of the town is not able to deal with various roadworks happening all at the same time, because everything has a knock-on effect in the town.
Right, okay. I know it's a lot to ask of listeners, right? But what I will say is, from my experience, when you get into Letterkenny, you can move around relatively freely. There's good parking in different parts of the town. And mm-hmm. these businesses, the likes of Aileen's business, is it's a local homegrown business that's employing mm-hmm. and helping people pay their mortgages. If there's a sports team or a charity event, the likes of Evolve are always there to support them, as are the other businesses. And if it's an extra 15 or 20 minutes, you know, maybe it's worth that little bit of extra time to ensure that these businesses are there on the other end of all of this. And I really can't emphasise that enough, Aileen, but at the same time having to sort of platform the frustrations that are out there. Thanks so much, because it was a voice
Thanks, Greg.
Needed to hear, the business voice, because I've kind of felt I've been trying to not speak on their behalf, but trying to cover all bases. So I'm really pleased. I wish it wasn't the case, but to hear from an actual business. And, you know, November 10th, it's hard to believe we're actually going at another route here. All right, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Greg.
So much for your time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Get into Evolve and all the other businesses and support them if you can. Now, I referenced this yesterday in the newspapers, a national newspaper. Gerry Connolly, he's a Donegal man from Stranola, more specifically, and he was talking about facilities in men's toilets for people diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I'm sure there are probably other areas of health that might create the same problems that could be resolved with this. Gerry, good morning to you. How are you keeping now?
Morning, Greg. Doing not too bad, yeah.
Fair play to you for bringing this to the fore, because, you know, we talk about these issues an awful lot, but we don't necessarily talk about some of the lived realities that are there. It's almost like, you know, I have it, or I got cured, or I'm feeling better now and what have you. But we don't always get into the nitty gritty of it. Your diagnosis, prostate diagnosis, came in 2013. And you were obviously learning beyond that, the consequences of it. So talk us through the issues.
Well, at that time, it was 2013. Over a period of time, I had been attending the doctor, getting blood tests and all that done, and biopsies done. But by 2015, then I was diagnosed with cancer, because once you get into the system, they keep you in the system. And then I was offered the robotic surgery in Galway, so I had that done, and it was explained kind of very lightly now about the after effects of having the operation as regards incontinence, but I don't know whether I wasn't listening or whether it was maybe very lightly touched on, you know.
So this would be the, often it's involuntary, the squeeze effectively, so that if your bladder is full and you could release that, there's sort of an involuntary hold on that, but also too, if you need the toilet, you can voluntary hold it as well. Through your cancer and the treatment and the process, that sort of involuntary and voluntary ability was lost to an extent.
Either through radium or an operation, once you have your prostate removed or worked on with radium, you basically don't have any control for, could be up to 3 to 4 months before you have some form of control back. So that to a man is a big issue, you know. No man likes to admit that he's basically soiled himself, which does happen, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously you said, right, there's a trend here, if I'm coughing or laughing or sneezing or what have you, I can wet myself. So presumably, you know, there are products you can buy, or what's the story in terms of managing that until such time as the ability to control returns, if it does?
Well, basically, in the initial stages, you have a range of pads that you wear.
Yeah.
From basic pads, depends on your leakage, to the sumo wrestler pads, as I call them, like a sumo wrestler. You're back in nappies again, basically, as an adult, you know. Yeah. You kind of revert back to your childhood. You know, but you're dealing with that. You haven't your mother to deal with the after effects. You're dealing with it yourself. So They advise then on pelvic floor exercises, which takes a long time before you can really maneuver that muscle that you have some control.
And this conversation is very familiar to women for various reasons. It could be childbirth. It could be, you know, there's lots of different reasons. So it's a familiar conversation there. So, Jerry, me and you head into one of the lovely bars in Stranorlar when you were having this issue, and we have a couple of pints, right? And you've got whatever products you choose to wear, you've got them with me, and you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable and you slip off to the bathroom, right? This is where the problem sort of, maybe the dignity comes into it a little bit, because not every toilet contains somewhere where you could safely dispose of your product. And is that why you've sort of started speaking publicly?
Yeah, well, between ourselves and between myself and the Irish Cancer Society and PHS they've taken the lead on this too, to highlight the lack of incontinence bins for males, particularly because not only have you pads with after prostate cancer, some men would have catheter bags which are even bigger than a pad, and very hard to dispose of, because my colleague who was in the program with us yesterday in Dublin, he had a catheter bag on for 9 months, and he was actually back to work, so he had extreme difficulties in trying to find a place.
But the hygiene services company are on site here anyway, right? Because they're providing and maintaining similar type of reciprocals in the ladies' toilets or in the toilets for people with a disability. So it's a case really of extending those services to the men's as well then.
Well, it's probably a case of highlighting the lack of them for men.
Yeah, but I'm saying about solutions, though, you see.
Yeah, as I say, PHS have taken the lead on this, and I think the fact that Marcus, my colleague who was in the campaign with us, he actually works for PHS, and I think that's where the conversation started first, that he's actually changing incontinence bins in female toilets, and he often wondered after he had prostate cancer, why was there no facility for men? So it was a kind of a natural progression to have a look at it, you know.
And in terms of access to products, I was in a toilet at a function in Donegal Town yesterday, and my word, there was everything in this vending machine, from sex aids, if you don't mind me saying so, to disposable face masks and chewing gum and stuff, but nothing like what we're talking about, nothing that could help someone in the situation you were in, you know, no products available. Is that another thing too, that there's access to products?
There's not access to products because I suppose you have the problem is you don't know what the right product to have, and a vending machine for male incontinence can be a wee bit more difficult. So it's more, we would be looking at more the dignity of having an incontinence bin in a male toilet. You know, and in some toilets you can say there's no bin of any description now, so there isn't.
Yeah, yeah, and even maybe, you know, there might be one beside the hand dryer, but maybe, you know, you want someone, you would want one maybe in a more discreet place. I don't know where they are in women's toilets, to be honest with you. I'm coming here from a bit of naivety, but I don't know if they're in the cubicles or in the general area. But anyway, a start would be a start if one of these were put in place.
Yeah, because most of the bins that you find in a male toilet are fairly open. You know, they can be just an open container, and some of them do have a lid on them, but some of them are not fit to take a pad in them.
Yeah, it's ad hoc, isn't it? Yeah, and also too, then you go, is this a responsible place for me to put that as well? And it puts another pressure on. So where are we at in terms of the campaign? Now, the campaign, by the way, can be accessed at phswashrooms.ie/male-incontinence. But where are we at? Like, are some businesses doing this already? Are there gaps all over the place? Is it a lack of knowledge, and for the first time they're going, blooming hell, actually, maybe I should do this? So what's the story?
Well, what PHS have done is they launched this in the UK in 2024, and it's taken off really well there, and now they're beginning to launch it here in Ireland. They have started in a few places, but it's at the very, very early stages yet. But they would plan to, as I say, with the Irish Cancer Society and the Irish Men's Shed Association, to try and highlight this issue, and this is why myself and Marcus was taken into the situation because we've been there and we've experienced this lack of incontinence bins in males' toilets. So that's where we're coming from. So we're basically trying to highlight the whole program, you know.
No, and you've done a brilliant job, and I've learned something today. Well, I learned it yesterday, but that's why we wanted to speak to you, because it's just an important area. Listen, Jerry, thanks very much indeed. You're in good health now. Well, you look great. So I hope that's a reflection.
We're also just trying to encourage any man to go and get a PSA test with their GP for trying to catch cancer early on.
And even that's not necessarily to identify a cancer you might have, but it gets a baseline, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Listen, thanks so much. Look after yourself.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
And with all the squat, you must have buns of steel too now as well, do you, with the pelvic floors exercises? All right. Thanks very much indeed.
Okay,
look after yourself.
Much,
bye-bye.
You.
Okay. 086 60 25,000. Is that sort of more of an issue than maybe I was aware, or you listening today? Maybe you are a gentleman who goes, wow, okay, I was wondering when someone would step up to the plate and identify this as a problem for us. Okay. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, as you would know, I hope. 07491 25,000. We're heading into the last half hour of this week's 9 till noon show. And we really do appreciate you, our loyal listeners, because there was another set of figures that came out the day before yesterday, which shows that Highland Radio and its listenership is growing, which is remarkable, right? If you look at national trends, it's really, really fantastic. Our show, book on book, as they say, has increased its listenership from 4.4%. Some of that's seasonal, right? But it's still, anytime you're going up is good. In the first hour of the show, year on year, 9 to 10, has increased significantly, and it's either level or some fluctuations in the other hours. But suffice to say, for the absolute majority, either you're continuing to listen to us, or you've begun listening to us on this program. I'm just speaking from this program at this time, and you know, we really, really, genuinely appreciate it, because I'm sitting in here in this room on my own. I do have fantastic conversations like I just had with Jerry, but sometimes you wonder, right? Are we hitting the right mark? Are we talking about the right things? Are we doing what we should be doing for you? Because if you're not listening, we're not here, right? So often it's talked about like what we do. It's not what we do for people; it's what people do for us and supporting us. And it's just right across the board as well, too, from Lee in the morning, booking trends in attracting more listeners when nationally radio listenership is edging back on a daily basis. But here, 8 out of 10 of you who listen to radio are listening to Highland Radio every week. Isn't that remarkable? 8 out of 10. And between 6 and 7 of you listen every single day. That's remarkable. Like, I see other radio stations down the country, national radio stations, and they're delighted with like 14% of the market, 15%, 16%, and that's fantastic, right? But 8 out of 10 of you who listen to radio listen to us at some stage over the week. We've got fantastic loyal listeners at the weekend too, brilliant weekend presenters, Sport doing a brilliant job as well, but also like between 6 and 7 of you listening to this radio station every day. And it's how long you listen to as well, which is astonishing, right? Because, you know, near neighbours of us have a 40% market share, which is really good in the industry. Ours is over 60%. So when you switch on the radio, you stick with us throughout the day, and it's brilliant. And thank you so very much. And I can't speak on behalf of the station, right? There's other people here that can do that. But just certainly from our show, to praise fellow presenters, but also to say thank you from our show's perspective, we really, really do appreciate it. And Caroline out there does most of the heavy lifting in it. She works flat out. And for us, it's we get paid, right? But it's to our detriment sometimes, a bit of a devotion, what we do, me and her particularly, and Shannon as well, of course. Sorry, she's just off. That we're at it all the time. I'm getting messages from Caroline at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I know, 10 o'clock at night, and I know she's up at probably, what is it, 4:30 in the morning? Well, she'd probably be up all night having a wheeze. But anyway, she's up at 4:30, 5:00. To get ready for work. So we, you know, it's all the time. We're constantly at it, and it's because, which makes your loyalty to the show and those that are listening to the show that didn't before, it makes it all worthwhile. And we have this fantastic platform to highlight issues around our beautiful region. Some of it's good, some of it's negative, but it's all important and it all makes a difference. And we'll be back doing that, as I've just outlined, after this break. Now, we're joined on the programme by Fine Gael County Councillor Michael Boyle. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. I do appreciate your time this morning.
Morning, Greg, and morning to your listeners. I hope you can hear me there, okay?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear, Michael, and you're raising an important issue because you were, this has an impact on you, of course, as well, but you were one of the first at a fatal road traffic collision in Glenties recently. And I suppose as you've had a time to deal with that and what you came upon and what have you, you've kind of been able then to reflect on our ability to respond to incidences like that. So talk to me about what you've observed and what you think we need to be working on. Hello, Michael. Can you hear me? Oh, I've lost Michael there. It was... we were doing all right. I'll bring Michael back in a second. 086 60 25,000, by the way, is just a reminder of the telephone number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Sorry, Michael, you dropped out there. Hopefully you're back with us.
I'm back there, Greg. Yeah.
Yeah. So the question was effectively, you know, following this situation, you've noticed some gaps that we probably need to fill. What have you observed?
Yeah, well, just a bit of background. When I was elected back in April to, or co-opted onto Donegal County Council, the first group and I met was the Donegal, or the Road Victim Support Northern Ireland, Donegal, headed up by Marie Fury. I know Marie was on with you there. Mm-hmm. We met with myself and Senator Manus Boyle and Jennifer Kiaran McNeill, the Minister for Health, met with this group. And the harrowing stories they told us that day of social media, of how their love, how they found out their loved ones was tragically killed on the roads, it was mind-boggling. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. Not funny enough, but just that morning, before the accident, I had been speaking to Marie Fury on this subject, and little did I know, about 2 or 3 hours later, that I was going to be one of the people that was going to come on a scene like this. So I have to praise the emergency services, the ambulance, fire brigades, all landed out fairly, very quick. And of course, the yard did as well. But on the back of my mind was when I was on that scene, it was a very scenic, where the car could be seen from a lot of areas. Why was this road not closed? And why was on, it wasn't anybody looking on taking photos, but in the back of my mind, emotions were high. And I wanted to get the road closed. So at the time, I had spoken to the deceased husband, and he told me that his daughter was sitting in Lahey waiting on them. So, you know, I didn't want her to find out that just maybe there was a serious accident between her mother and father in Glenties, and it'd be found out on Snapchat or on social media. So I approached the yard, and I asked the yard, why was he not closing the road? And he told me that he had no adequate patrol car to close the road. Mm. He had no signs to put up on the road, and he had no help. And now, I have to apologise to him because I used words I shouldn't use. Anybody knows me, I'm a very calm person. But I thought this was absolutely ridiculous in this day and age that we hadn't even a sign to close the road. And I did feel sorry for the yard because I seen the emergency services asking him why was the road not closed. And he was embarrassed to tell them that he hadn't even got signs to put up on the road.
Mm. Yeah, there's something seriously going amiss there, isn't there? I mean, Glenties used to be, and this tragic event happened near Glenties, it used to be, you know, a regional Garda base, effectively, a district HQ. Why aren't these resources in where they need to be all over the county, I wonder?
Yeah, well, I was speaking to Manus, you know, Manus is a brother of mine, yep. Senator Manus Boyd, and I asked Manus to take this up in the Senate during the week. I felt that strongly about it. And since yesterday morning, I have had a few retired yards come on to me about what's going on. One yard actually told me back about 20 years ago, there were 25 yards, 3 sergeants and 1 superintendent in Glenties, and now we have only 5 yards covering the whole area. You know, there's something falling short there. He also pointed out to me too about Donegal Town in the near future. you know, Donegal's a bustling town now, and it's good to see so much the nightlife has made Donegal what it is now. People are coming to it, and I want more people to come to Donegal town. But as he told me now, if they're not allowed to use the cells in Donegal town, if there's a disturbance there, the guards have to leave Donegal town with the person and take them the whole way to Ballyshannon, leaving the guard out of the town. And he asked me, this is a retired guard, but he says he retired because things were getting so bad. So he has asked me to highlight these things.
I think we talked about guards having to leave West Donegal to bring people into Letterkenny. I wonder, is that the case? Because if that is the case, I mean, look how it's stretching resources, especially in Donegal town where you have a multi-million euro new development there. Can I ask, just to clarify your comments, Michael, we know the likes of the Road Victims Association, Donegal and Northern Ireland, and other representative groups have expressed concerns about people taking pictures of instances like this. Did you actually see people, because I missed it when you mentioned it, were you seeing sort of regular people taking pictures of this collision, or you
no,
two?
No, nobody was taking pictures, Greg. It was in the back of my back of my head when the emotions is high, because I have to commend, especially three or four people came on the scene who knew first aid. I'm ashamed to say I have no first aid, but people was there to help. But all I could think of in the back of my head was, you know, I don't want these people's family to find out
100%
over social media that this has happened. And that's why I feel so strongly about it. Like, I'm just going to go back here. That retired yard also told me that Glenties is without an operational patrol car his last 2 years.
Mm.
Not 2 weeks, 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, is this the road we're going down? And I know people can say, well, he shouldn't be giving out his parties in government, but I'll be highlighting this, and I'm not afraid to speak out on these things.
You're a member of Fine Gael, but you're also a Donegal man and of the community as well, and these some issues, party politics don't come into it, so I do respect that you're speaking as a citizen. And you know what, maybe you have some influence within that party through the offices of your brother to get it mentioned in the Shannon, and who's to say where it might be picked up from there. So it's a very worthwhile topic, and we appreciate you coming on, Councillor, and chatting to us about it. And
thanks very much, Greg.
We'll chase it up ourselves as well, because the guards can't speak out all the time because they just simply can't. And we've heard from the GRA quite regularly about the crazy shortages in equipment and staff in this county, and we have to keep platforming it. And it's not to have a go at the guards, it's actually to support the guys and girls on the ground who are trying to do their job, often under-resourced. Michael, thanks for your time. Look after yourself.
Thanks very much, Greg,
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, thank you for that. Let me see, where are we at? We are at 10:45. It's time to take a break. We'll be back with the weather. Donna Marie Doherty is going to be in, seeing what's happening on social media. What's trending, what's not trending. Maybe give us some conversational pieces to try and get our teenagers' faces out of their phones. Or annoy them. Do the 6-7. They hate it. They hate it when older people do 6-7, etc. So this is more about how I can annoy people in my life rather than relate to them. But anyway, we'll be back with Donna Marie Doherty, who's just about getting on the brink of being too old for this feature. We'll be back with Donna Marie after this break. VMM podcast. Thanks for your message. Incredible numbers, Greg. Deserved such an important platform for the people. And I feel like I'm almost obliged to say you also have a very good platform. And check out the lads on VMM podcast. There's a lot of people doing great stuff, actually, in Donegal. You know, we can call them influencers or whatever the phraseology might be, but they're using platforms to promote the county and to promote services and stuff. V&M are amongst that. It's hard to start something off and keep it going, and they've done a brilliant job. Huge numbers. I was looking at some of the interactions on TikTok. Really quite sickening, in a good way for them. And there are others as well doing great stuff. We're all part of the same ecosystem, right? Donna Marie Doherty is tripling up on her duties today. Good morning to you. How are you getting on? What's going on?
Not much. I thought you were very down with the kids there because of something sickening for like a Gen Alpha. It is just the best thing ever.
What is?
if the term sickening, like, oh, that's sickening, as oh, in right, it is. It's okay. So cool.
So I'm actually, young and relative without knowing it.
Absolutely.
Derek was on to say, could you please play a request or even just say break a leg to Donna Marie Doherty for her performance today and over the weekend, and hope she'll be back on the air on Monday. This is you, right? So you're in a show, right?
Yes, The Ripple Effect. We're away to Monaghan this afternoon, Kilchie Mah, which is a Mayo tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're back in Letterkenny on Sunday.
Is this a competition circuit or what?
Okay. Yeah, it is. It is. So the top three, your top three results, generally speaking, are taken. So we're in the open section, and the top six open plays will get put through to the All-Ireland, but there's very stiff competition.
Oh, exciting.
So.
And you did get, obviously the place in one. You got a personal recognition recently, didn't you?
Yes, I got an award for supporting actress, which was nice. It's my first one. I have it up on the mantelpiece. Very pleased with it.
yes, indeed. Enjoy that. Well done. Okay, thanks. Good luck to you and all the team. Right, let's see what's happening on socials. We'll start with a wedding guest black tie event. What's this about?
So a wedding guest arrived to a wedding. She was the plus one of her boyfriend, and she was like, what will I wear? And he was like, it's a wedding, just wear something nice.
Yes.
So whenever she got there, it turned out it was black tie event, and all the ladies were wearing long black dresses, and she was given figure skater. Is the only way. That's what one of the comments said. It's given figure skater. So there is a scent on a TikTok there, so if people want to get a look. So the poor girl essentially had to get surgery on her knee and on her ankle. So she ended up having to wear Doc Martens, which already is a bit of a risky move. But she also wore tube socks with it. So like the white gym socks.
To a wedding. Okay.
And personally for me, I'm very funny with weddings. I thought her dress was a bit too light for my liking.
The thing, I find black tie quite confusing, right? So for me, black tie would mean like black tie or dicky bow, tux kind of a buzz, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, it doesn't always mean that.
It doesn't always
so,
mean
but
black
recently
either.
There was something on in a hotel and it says black tie, and I says, well, you know, I've got a nice light bright blue suit, you know, nice tie.
Yes, I know the one.
Yeah. I've got more than one. I've only got one. So I went to this event, right? I only have one. I went to this event and walked in, and apparently it was very literally black tie. And I was the only person not in a black tie.
Oh.
It was so cringe.
How did you feel?
I just made it look like I had a tan or bad blood pressure. I was just so red. And I wasn't able to have a drink either, so I had to suffer through it.
Woman then she went and she made a TikTok in the, like, it looked like a laundry room or something, being like, I'm so embarrassed, I asked him, he didn't give me the right advisory on what to wear.
Why do men always get blamed?
Well, this is the thing. Some people are saying it is his fault. Other people are saying, should you not have just checked the invitation? But then in a wild turn of events, the bride posted a video. And she,
do I have this video? I don't see it here.
You should have the one of the girl who's dressed like a toddler. That's her words, not mine.
Then
bride swears
so
like
I've got
sailor.
I've got the Singapore here. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Czar bomb, that's not it, is it?
No. It was sent in. It's a... You will see
I don't have, and it was fine.
Okay, anyway, it's grand.
We can search that.
The bride then came forward and was like, people kept sending me videos about my wedding, which was really weird. She said that people are giving this doll too much of a rough time. But then she also was like, but there was some details I want to clear up. So the guest said, oh, you know, like it was in a bar, but apparently that was meant to be a red herring so nobody would recognise the wedding. And then a lot of people are also just saying, like, you know, you were at somebody else's wedding, you made a faux pas, and now you've turned it into a massive viral video that the bride and all now have to deal with.
Well, the note was simple enough. Thanks for introducing me. Thanks for including me in your wonderful, I don't know what that says, your perfect wedding anyway. P.S. Shane didn't tell me the dress code, so I'm sorry I showed up like a first grader on picture day. Okay. Right, well, with AI now, they can chop her out and do whatever they like.
Apparently she was
Singapore bringing in caning for scammers. This is old school.
This is old school. So the Senior Minister of State there for Home Affairs, Sim Ann, there should be a video there where she's just basically outlining everything.
Caning for scammers. Offenders who commit scams, defined as cheating mainly by means of remote communication, will be punished with at least 6 strokes of the cane. We will take an equally firm stance against scam syndicates. These syndicates mobilize significant resources to conduct and profit from scams and have the highest level of culpability.
Now, I would say, you know, some of us presenting and listening would be familiar maybe with the cane at school or at home. Mm-hmm. I suspect when it comes down to what they're talking about here, it's going to be something really quite more significant.
Yeah, so it is on the rear end, which I was surprised by. Mm. So you're like kind of standing up, but bent over some sort of thing. The canes are absolutely massive, and people say that usually after the sixth one, that's whenever the people getting canes start to pass out. Again, people in the comments are like, this should be brought in everywhere. If you're going to do the crime, you should be able to what's that saying?
Do the time.
But it's the noise of it. I was looking at some training videos. The noise of it
training
was...
Training videos. All right, okay. Right, moving on. It's not a sentence I thought I'd ever read. Muff versus North Korea. What's this about?
Oh, Greg, I'm going to paint you a picture. We were having a Chinese for my friend's birthday and we had a few bottles of Corona. And I had to do three takes at my phone whenever I saw this video came up. So it was on a TikTok page called the Clutch Culture, which seems to be kind of like a Waterford Whispers, The Onion type sort of thing. And they had a screenshot, which was a fake screenshot of the Daily Mail headline. And it was read,
right,
Kim's fury at runaway Irish superpower as tyrant threatens nuclear strike on Donegal Village. And what they say in this article was that Kim Jong-un had seen a social media post celebrating the opening of a new coffee shop and installation of high-speed broadband. And he said that they had to monitor the muff situation closely. But this has all spiraled out now. And I don't know if I've just gotten into a very niche part of the FYP. But all of my videos now are like muff, all rise, muff has taken a stand up. But some of the comments were really funny. Someone went, if there's even a sniff of radiation across the border in Derry, God help Kim. That's all I'm saying. But there's been a whole like trilogy now of Muff is striking back with Tsar Obama as Kim Jong-un is left under the collar. So like there's a whole sort of series of them now. But
this is going, like this is worldwide stuff, right? Because it's not, you know, to get trending and to get an FYPs and all that. It's all over the place. So it's good advertisement for Muff.
It's good. It's good when the FP gets local. And a lot of people as well are also, another comment I thought was really funny, saying, will this affect the Lidl open times?
That's very actually important. All Lidl open times for that matter. Donna Marie Doherty, thank you so very much indeed. Really appreciate your time. We'll be back with more on what's trending, what's not trending on the socials next week. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.